Welcome back, man, to another great episode of Comedians in Bed. And as always, man, I always have another great comedian here for you. You know, Comedians in Bed, where comedians can be comedians. I don't know if that makes sense, but it sounds like something you should say on a show. So that's why I say it. But we have another great one here for you. This comedian right here has been killing the scene in Cincinnati and all over the Midwest, and I had to get him on here because, just like me, he's an unusual Black. And when you find another unusual Black, you guys got to connect and you make this optimist, like, type prime type Black. And, like, Black women can't stand that. And I don't know what sense I'm making, but it sounded nice in my head. Then when I started spitting it out, it didn't make no sense at all. But whatever the case may be, please give it up for my our next guest here, Tabari McCoy, everybody.
What's going on, sir? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. How you doing today?
You know, I was all right. And I always tell people technology is great when it works. Tell me why I just got a brand new pair of Beats headphones to replace the old Beats that I broke. And I just noticed that when we sitting here, I'm like, I ain't even hearing my man through these headphones. It's going through the regular microphone in this iMac. I don't understand. I'm like, I can't get technology to work the way I want it to. I'm like, this should be a simple situation, but instead, it only gives me an option for a built-in mic, and then it says a virtual mic. And then I said Microsoft Teams. I don't know if anybody has a way. I'm going to take these headphones off because they work us at this point. I don't know if anybody has a way of getting a hold of somebody at Microsoft, but if you do, I want y'all to tell them that outside of the Xbox, which I'm going to say it, is a better system for a gamer, especially one with big ass hands. If you, anything outside the Xbox that y'all make, straight trash, homie. I'm a reverse Randy Mossett, okay? The Microsoft Zoom, yeah, let's make a fake iPod after iPod done had the market cornered. Let's try and do that. Didn't work. What was the other thing? Yeah, y'all still trying to act like the Surface is as good as the iPad. The only time the Surface is good is when I get to watch an NFL head coach that knows he's made bad decisions, or a player that knows he just dropped a pass, throw it. Microsoft, stick to the Xbox. That's your thing. Everything else, straight trash.
Oh, you're really smart if you use a Microsoft. I use Apple. They're very simple.
Yeah, I use Apple, too. That's what I'm saying. Outside of the Xbox, everything else y'all done made since, like, Windows 7.
Yeah.
Trash. Don't get into the hotel game. Don't do that. I don't want no Microsoft Airbnbs. Don't open up no restaurants, okay? I don't want any Microsoft burgers, okay? I'm sure they ain't going to be good. I'm sure the bun going to be half done. Just like all the other Windows y'all released since like 2010 or whatever it was. No more.
So you team Xbox?
I'm team Xbox, and I have a PlayStation 5 because You got to get the games for both. I've outgrown Nintendo because it feels like Nintendo don't drop nothing. They drop Mario Brothers games the way that Tupac had albums coming out in the first 5 years after he died. Over any conspiracy theories listening in the first 5 years when y'all was still arguing about it with energy and fervor.
I played an Xbox, but I'm not an Xbox guy. I'm like, my dad just bought me a PlayStation and I stuck with it. Like, that was my first ever gaming system. What was your first ever gaming system?
Oh, I'm old. People would think that I'm your dad, except for the fact that you can grow a beard and I can't. So they would be getting it all messed up. Like, I don't know which one's the father and which one's the son. I go back before Biggie did with the Sega Genesis. Like, I go back before that. Like, I had Atari 2600. I think we had Atari 7800, which I don't know how many more hundreds it was jazzed up, but it didn't do that. I had Intellivision, which I know you ain't never heard of. I had the original Nintendo with the laser gun. Never had the robot. That little robot had like a game, but now that thing is worth mad money because everything from childhood, people played with it like they supposed to. Then they become adults and get nostalgic, and now it's worth money. Somewhere there is a nerd that is sitting on a multi-million-dollar empire because no one would play with him, so he took care of all his toys And now he's got all the revenge. He's getting all the women. He's got a nice, like estate out in Puerto Vallarta and all the other places that, you know, people can't pronounce correctly because they don't roll the R's. It's like when you hear somebody say quesadilla, I'm like, no, in Espanol, two L's is a Y sound, but some of y'all can't handle that. But yeah, man, I forgot where I was going with this.
Growing up, I never, like I said, PlayStation was the first game system I had, but my cousin.
That was the first one you had?
That was the first one I had. It's not the first one I played with. The first one I played with was a Sega Genesis and Nintendo, but I just never had it. I don't know why what made my dad give me a PlayStation, but he just randomly got me one. I just started playing.
The best systems that never got their full shine were the Sega Dreamcast. Sega Dreamcast, one of the dopest systems of all time. And if you knew a rich kid, they had a TurboGrafx-16 or a Neo Geo. Because those systems, that was like ahead of its time graphically, but that sucker was like what we pay now. It was like almost what we pay now for consoles. And there was no Black Friday special. It was like, we don't get yellow on this Friday. You paying this price if you want this.
What was what made Dreamcast the best one in your opinion?
Dreamcast just had it was like on the road to the graphics we get now. Like I quit playing the NBA 2K series because for one, I'm 5'8 at best on a good day, and basketball ain't fun. Plus, I'm in my 40s. My hoop dreams died a long time ago. But if you are a 2K fan, NBA 2K on the Sega Dreamcast, oh. Me and my boys used to play that for hours, nearly have fights. you know how it goes when we start to getting into gaming.
My cousin had a Dreamcast. I know I played it a couple times, but it was just a little too different. Like once I started playing the PlayStation, I can't get the other controllers. I don't even play my PlayStation. I'm about to buy one for my birthday for next month and try to get back on it.
I mean, this is the time they on sale right now.
That's the only reason why I'm doing it.
But I tell people when we're recording it. But I mean, if you gonna get one, this would be the time because they don't drop those prices. Because people, I mean, they drop them now, and they only drop them by like $50 or $60.
To be honest, I'm only really getting it because I don't really play the game as much. But I'm only really getting it because college football coming out next year. That's the only reason why I'm getting it. And I know this, like you said, it's going to be on sale. So, I'm getting it now.
This is a weird thing with comedy. I always will remember, because the last one that came out was NCAA Football 14.
Yeah.
It had Denard Robinson from Michigan before they was worrying about signs getting stolen on the cover.
Yeah.
And I was in Alabama the only time. No, I'm sorry, I was in Texas. I was doing shows in San Antonio, Texas. The movie Grown Ups 2 had just came out. And I love Chris Rock and I respect Adam Sandler, who was a nice animated flick out now. Those two, Grown Ups 1 and 2, once again, straight trash, homie. I was at an outlet mall and I think the news had broke that like they couldn't make any more of those, and I bought my second or third copy of that game to play.
Yeah,
like now some of the games now, they, like I tried to play an NBA 2K in the last like three. I can't even do it. I'd rather go play real basketball. It's like hit this move to make it X, then pivot, then half fake, pump fake, drop step, euro step, dub step. I'm like, it's too much.
It'd be hard trying to shoot and dribble with the analog stick. I'm like, I just give me the arrows, man. Just give me the arrows.
I mean, I used to teach and I had kids that couldn't remember the five states that border Ohio, which as an adult, when I've talked to other adults, they're like, there's five. So I should actually give them kids a break now.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I just counted. I was like, wait a minute.
I know. Man. It's like they couldn't do some of the stuff they needed to for class. Put a controller in their hand. It's like watching a rocket scientist learning a new algorithm. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Nah, it's a little different. I like it though. My trying to get my nephew onto it and thing. I don't think he got a console, but like if he comes over and he wants to play the game and stuff, I'm like, I know you don't know what you're doing, but what I really get, I was thinking about it the other day. I'm really upset that the fact that our that my parents and discouraged me, and probably your parents too, discouraged you from playing a game. It's like, bro, who knew if we would have made a living out of this? I could have just did this.
Like, I can watch a lot of things. Like, I can even still watch poker on TV sometimes. I'm like, there's an idea of money and it's human on human.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit around and watch another dude play video games. Like, I can watch a trailer for a game that I'm going to play.
Yeah.
But I can't sit around and watch you. And if I hear somebody call these people an athlete, I'm going to be like, they're not even a mathlete. Like, I'm like, but I mean, we done made everybody into a star. Like, reality TV took over. And it's funny because now we watch shows about other people going to work. Like, Gordon Ramsay, a decade plus, because my man cooks.
Yeah.
To watch other people's lives, because all we do is compare ourselves to them and be like, for example, I've done jokes about it, but in the climate we in right now, I stopped doing it. But it's like, nobody watches my 600-pound life because they want to help those people. Everybody watches my 600-pound life because it makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody is sitting there like, oh, I hope they make it. People are sitting there like, you have a cinnamon roll in your hand, like, I ain't this big. Like, it just, everything is a reality show now. And that's why we have lost touch with reality.
Yeah. I don't really watch 600-pound life. I see clips. Like,
that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You don't have to watch it. If you watch a full episode, it's like watching Hoarders. You watch a full episode at first, you'd be like, oh, this is messed up. Then, like, 15 minutes, you'd be like, man, this is messed up. Then you 30 minutes, I need to call my mom, make sure she all right, so she don't be bored. Then by the end, you watch the people, they do all that work to help them, and then 9 times out of 10, and they see that little sad black screen, Amy went right back to hoarding 3 weeks later. You know what I mean? It's just, but nothing is no one's fault no more, man. So, you know, it's like, everybody's mad at everybody. Nothing is anybody's fault, and nothing's going to get fixed, because as long as we can get over, we going to get over.
I watched 600-pound Life when, like, I feel discouraged about my love life, because there's always, I always feel like they got, a short man that's so loyal to them and stick by their side, and I'll be like, I'm going to find me my 600-pound queen one day.
I mean, I had the reverse problem, because I was watching one episode. They gave these dudes a two-hour episode.
Oh, dang.
Not a regular 1 hour. It was a set of twins in Texas. And the one dude had a girl. And I was like, how? I got a credit score in the 750s or 760s. I got 2 college degrees. You know what I mean? I got some nice hands with a size 14 shoe. And I'm out here like, this dude, I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, we got to do better. I mean, once again, no offense to any of my fellow overweight people, because they make a show called My 228-Pound Life when I should be around 175. I know they're going to have cameras like, look at you. So, but you know.
Jabari, traveling the world and, you know, meeting so many different people of different variations.
I ain't traveled the world. I traveled America.
Well, America, that's what you
I ain't got world money. I barely got money to get to Canada, but point is. I ain't been there yet. I'm coming to Toronto. Fall off, but I'll be it'll be Drake then me.
Well, traveling these states, meeting so many different people, has comedy, you know, doing it before, you know, when you first got started and doing it now, has comedy been everything you hoped and thought it would be?
Yes and no, like anything else. Here's the thing I always tell people. I started late doing stand-up at age 29. Now, you can do comedy whenever age. I mean, there's people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. But by the time I started doing stand-up, I had a house, mortgage. It's like, I like my yard. I like my neighbors. Like, I like grass and not the type that just got legalized in Ohio, like where I'm at. But it's like, you know, the internet has changed things a lot, because now you can make a career if you get enough social media followers. I know we were talking before we started recording, but there's so much media and so much out there. There's a little bit of luck to it. Because I always tell people, if you ever go to a concert, right, and you see an opening act that's like really dope, and then you'd be like, why isn't this band bigger? I'd be like, well, let's think about this. We got 50 states. Every state has at least one major city, because, you know, Maine, I know they got Bangor. I don't know what else they got.
The fact that you know that.
You know, I'm told you, I'm a geography man. But, like, you figure, like, California, okay, you got Sacramento, L.A., San Diego, San Fran, San Diego, Bakersfield, L.A., different parts of L.A. You got, and that's just that. I mean, Seattle and Washington, Tacoma, Kentucky, Louisville's got four clubs. I mean, you think about how many sheer clubs, entertainers, and everyone's fighting for the same little bit. I mean, you know, you need to be in a bigger city to try to blow up well, or you're going to have to get on your hustle. Like, there's a rapper named Jay Live that had a song with DJ Jazzy Jeff, and he was like, I'm accounts payable, receivable, you know, marketing, engineering. And it's like, when you try to do everything by yourself, it's a little hard. Being in a bigger city where you can start to build a team and things of that nature makes it easier. But in a more direct sense, I love being on stage when people are laughing. But I love being on stage because comedians are the last truth tellers that we have in society. And sometimes the truth is extremely ugly. I almost sometimes feel like the way an audience reacts to a joke says more about the audience than it does the comic. Because most of our, you know, there is life imitating art. Or art, I'm sorry, art imitates life. So, you know, there's a certain comedian who I shall not mention right now that's very popular, who just had a special drop on a streaming service. And this person's fan base is a little upset with this individual because of the type of joke they opened the show with. And it's not a type of joke that I would tell, but it's not a joke that I haven't heard a variant of before. And people know this is a comedian and they acknowledge the jacked up nature of the subject, but some people immediately tune out because everybody in an audience has a word that when they hear it, it brings up something for them which they are not a fan of or is super negative in their own mind, and then it's gone, or they don't want to give you any leeway, or certain things should never be joked about and this and that. And I always say, when a comedian does a certain type of joke, do they have malice? Are they being silly? Or are they trying to be thought-provoking? Because there's three different things there. Some people might be being silly, like, oh, I know it's messed up, but, you know, hey. Sometimes they say it with malice, like, no, you just said something jacked up and you tried to camouflage it with a joke. And then some people are like, this isn't really how I feel. But how do you feel hearing somebody say it out loud? Because you've heard, you know, somebody's thinking it, or you know a person that has thought it. Mm-hmm. But now everybody's got a voice. Everybody's got access to the internet. Like Roy Wood Jr., who is a dude that is like a dude I will sometimes, I have the, sorry, name dropping everybody. I got, I know a few people in my phone who would be like, why he dropping my name? We ain't hanging out. But I will sometimes chat with Roy about stuff. And he has a joke talking about knowing when to die on time. Like Hefner, Joe Paterno, all these dudes that got caught up in scandals. Because when they were doing stuff, they wasn't getting busted for it. And, you know, people forgave them because it's like, oh, it's older or they legacy. Nowadays, you do something wrong, you say something somebody don't like, they get enough people to agree with them. Now it's on. But that makes those people's hardcore supporters that they person even harder. And now you know why I ain't looking forward to the 2024 election.
I definitely understand. I don't really think, I used to think too much about it, but I just feel like, I don't know. I think maybe one day I was just like, me and my mom, like when we hang out, like we go out, hang out, we people watch like everybody else, you know, make jokes about people. And I just feel like nobody's, me and my mom make jokes about each other. Like, I feel like nobody's above being talked about. So I don't know why, you know, but I'm a man of faith. And, you know, in the Bible talks about the last days, people will be easily offended. So I just take it as just the times we live in. And I'm gonna say what I want to say because I got a mouth. Long as I be, you know, long as I be mature, or I guess be careful about what I say and how I say it. And no, right. I ain't got no ill will behind it. You know, I don't mind saying it. You know.
Yeah, I mean that's the way it goes. Is like I always tell people: is the punchline worth it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if you really want to say this joke and you think you're going to get blowback, is the punchline worth it? I do shows in a lot of places. And unless you open in for a black headliner when I'm not headlining, because sometimes I'm a feature act, sometimes I get the headline. When you're not headlining, like America, you're probably going to, I mean, there's a lot more white people in America, which means that there's probably going to be a lot more white headliners.
Yeah.
And if I do jokes about certain types of things in politics or things in society where I'm holding a mirror up to society, they may not want to hear that.
Yeah.
And the truth of the joke may not matter. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's more important to me? Trying to make these people laugh, buy my merchandise and go home, or trying to take a stand and make a point? It's just like, I know so many comics that struggle with working clean. Now, some people, they just want clean comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I started off completely clean. I can do almost every joke in my set completely clean. I got to do a show next month where they want us to be clean. Some people can't do that. Some people feel like it's not the integrity of their art, whatever, whatever, whatever. And it's like the old too short expression, get in where you fit in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people, you know, I'm like, whenever you decide to make an artistic decision, every decision has consequences. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, I'm a sneakerhead. I just got in a pair of kicks today. Shout out for the early getting hit on the Nike app. Got them. there's a certain rapper who I used to like who I can't rock that person's sneakers because they have done and said way too much for me to do it with any type of good faith in my heart.
Yeah. With you being from Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati is such a thriving scene. To me, in my opinion, one of the best scenes in Ohio. And I think it's such an underrated scene. There's so many great talent features and headliners that come out of Cincinnati. And one thing, beginning of this year, I had a showcase at the Funny Bone in Liberty, and this white comic came up to me, and I made a joke about it, and I didn't feel offended or nothing, but he was like, yeah, we don't have a lot of, he's like, you guys have a lot of black comics up there, we don't have a lot down here, and I was like, you don't? Like, so you're one of the ones that I know that travels and headlining features all over America, like,
yeah.
How is it being in a scene where it's just so many white people, and not that I really like care about the white people, but like but like we don't really have that here, so it's just a little like, is it harder? Like what is that like?
You know, here are a couple of things on that. One, funny is funny. So if you funny when you go up, that's you just gonna be you. Second, if you're a good comic, you'll try to find a way to bring the audience into your world. Now, if people can't tell from my everything that I do, I've been around white people a long time, but here's the thing about black people when they say this that I don't understand. We live in America. We've been around white people a long time.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, so when black comics say, I can't do the white room, well, it depends on like, okay, what's your sense of humor? Can you bring someone into your world? Or are you just used to being, and you know, like, this is going to go down a whole different road, so I'm a save. Like a bunch of stuff where it's like, you know, some black comics, like, first of all, black comedy, like black people, is not a monolith. So you got Hannibal Buress, you got the Eric Andres, you got the Baron Vaughns, you got the Ron Funches. And then, yeah, you got a lot of people that do like what they think of as black in terms of Def Jam. Like, I've had white comics and even a couple of Hispanic comics, like, oh, you know, they'll see me and they'll be like, oh, black comedy must be like some Def Jam stuff. Or when they hear me, they're like, that's not really, like, that's not, you know, it's not black comedy. I'm like, oh, well, so what's black comedy? I got to be struggling. I got to talk to you about roaches. You know what I'm saying? I got to be doing everything. Got to be like, is that what's black comedy for you? I mean, because it's like, I refuse to let my skin tone define my stuff. Mm-hmm. I have jokes that are going to hit with different audiences in different ways. But funny is funny, first of all. Second, to quote another comedian friend of mine, Vince Morris, every stereotype has a nucleus, and I have seen too many black comics do stupid stuff that makes them stand out in the wrong way. You're going to run the light and do 5 to 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes on a show with 20 people. That's not going to get you booked. You bringing your people out for the open mic, you get done, everybody leaving, causing disruption in the showroom. You come out, you can't do a joke without dropping the N-word every 30 seconds. And you wonder, what are you doing? And you look exploitative. Because I'm like, okay, are the white people laughing with you? Or are they laughing at you like, oh, his life is so ghetto. Like, which one is it? You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean to cut you off. Stay right there, because I was just talking. I was just talking with a comic, and there was a comic up there, and she was telling jokes, and she's like fairly new, but they were laughing at everything she's saying, and I'm like, and it dawned on me, I was like, bro, I don't know if they're laughing like at her or like with her, and it literally like, and then it shocked me. I'm like, damn, like, are they laughing at me or with me? And I never really thought about that before. Like, how can you tell when someone's laughing at you or like with you?
I mean, that's one of those things you have to determine for yourself. You know what I mean? It's like there was the remake of the movie Sparkle, because that movie, the original, came out before I was around, and then they remade it with Mike Epps, and he played a comic in that movie that was like doing what they call the step and fetch it. For those of you unfamiliar, you should go Google Step and Fetch It and Amos and Andy and a lot of other things about old black history. And for those of you that are listening and don't even know about that, you may know that there's like a civil war in black people, let alone comedy. Chris Rock did a whole joke about it, which I'm not gonna go into, because first of all, it's not my bit, it's his genius bit that everyone knows. And it's like, okay, are you trying to get, and like when you're up there, it's like, are you trying to get paid? And it's like, are you being funny or are you being the fool? Because there's two different types, you know. And it's like, I enjoy all different types of comedy. There are comics that I enjoy that I have nothing in common with, both as a comic and just as a person. And I can enjoy their stuff. But, you know, sometimes you watch people and you're like, all right, let's see here. Oh, this is the black comedy playbook. All right, you don't hit your weed joke. Boom. You didn't hit your white people joke. And as I say, all black comics have white people jokes. It's in the union, which is a joke in and of itself, because there is no union, despite what some people think. We would be getting paid better and doing better if there were. But it's like, you don't hit your weed joke. You don't hit your weave joke. You don't hit your weed joke again. You don't hit your white people joke. You don't hit your joke about the size of your penis. You don't hit your joke about hitting it from the back. You didn't hump the stool. And now, since it's what's popping on the internet, now everybody's got crowd work clips. And I'm not hating on the crowd work comics, but I know that some people, they don't have any jokes. And if that crowd work ain't working for them, this clip's getting ready to go viral for the wrong reason. You know what I mean? It's like, you do whatever you need to do to get people to the show, but do you actually have the talent to back it up? But to get back to your original question, I never worry about being the black guy in the room. Mm-hmm. I only worry about that is when there's another black comic on the show and I think they're going to do all the stuff that I just talked about that isn't like talking about anything positive. It feels more like, for lack of a better term, coonery. So I'll worry about that then. When I'm in the show, I'm like, okay, I'm about to go up here and prove I'm funny. And if there's a comic up here who's kind of a jackass to other comics, I got to make him be like, follow this. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like, well, you make your one group of friends laugh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I done been up in Cleveland. Cleveland is the blackest, got the one of the blackest clubs of all time. And I don't have stereotypical black jokes. So I got to bring them into my world. It made me a better comic doing that. A comedian who's no longer with us named David A. Arnold, who was from Cleveland. He said, you know what got me over worrying about performing for all hood crowds? When I realized that they wouldn't stop coming just because I didn't want them to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the job is to go up there and be funny. And I'm not going to fake anything. Because black people, we like authenticity. That's one reason why we get so upset about police stuff. We're going to make an investigation and we're going to do, Breonna Taylor's dude gets off again. Mm-hmm. That just happened. Same police brutality things. Dylan Roof. I was talking about this last night with a white friend while we were watching Monday Night Football. Dylan Roof goes into a church, and I think it was South Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas. I can't remember which one. Dylan Roof goes into a church, sits with those black people, prays and everything else, then unloads and kills them. The police pick him up, take him to Burger King. Mm-hmm. In Beaver Creek, Ohio, last night, there was a dude that went in there, shot up four people, then killed himself, which I never understood about the mass shooter. If you're going to kill yourself anyway, start with you. But that same Walmart a year ago or whatever, a black dude has a pellet gun that Walmart sells, mm-hmm, that he picks up. Somebody calls 911. He's threatening people. Oh, he's dead. Mm-hmm. The dude in Buffalo shot up a grocery store in a predominantly black neighborhood that went looking for the most black people he could kill. He's alive. Mm-hmm. And I only mention that because, like, they always, you know, like, people be like, you know, we're going to make changes and we're going to investigate and this and that. We don't like inauthenticity. And that's true with comedy.
Yeah.
Some audiences will smile and be like, not with a black crowd. Boo! Authenticity matters.
Yeah.
In the same way that black people are tired of hearing the same old excuses about why certain things haven't changed in society, the same way that some of these politicians are trying to make drag shows the number one priority while kids in their district, I'm looking at you, Tennessee, are getting shot up by mass murderers. Mm-hmm. The hypocrisy of our democracy is why other countries don't like us. And when you on stage and you doing some BS, other comics ain't gonna like you. When you up there doing some ridiculous stuff and you wasting the club's time, they ain't gonna book you. If you acting like you a superstar, walking out on a tab and all that other stuff, So I never worry about being the only, like, one, like a few black comic in the scene. I worry about, am I funny? Am I going to get booked? And am I going to sell merch? Because if I focus on those three things, that's what's going to end up mattering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you will be able to get some opportunities if they need a black comic or they want to break up the show. Because, I mean, I've been on open mics where it's bearded white dude in a plaid shirt, bearded white dude in a plaid shirt, bearded white dude, man bun, plaid shirt. You know what I mean? But, you know, I try to worry about that. Now, by that same notion, you're going to have to work as a black comic twice as hard to get what some other comics get.
Yeah. Because
that's also America. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work twice as hard to earn a nickel as a white comic that was given a dime.
Yeah.
And sometimes clubs, I don't even think, realize it, but people gravitate towards people that look like them. I'm not going to have jokes that some white people have because I don't have their white experience. America is a predominantly white country. Therefore, someone who can relate to them on a more whatever level, they're going to like them better.
Yeah.
But if you can relate to people as a whole, that's when you're going to make your most money. Yeah. I've seen Kevin Hart at a stadium. 50-50 split audience. White people, black people. When you make your show feel like an event, everybody wants to come see you. Mm-hmm. You can do well just focusing on one crowd. I mean, that's perfectly fine. I want everybody money. And want to try to entertain the masses because there's a phrase in wrestling, because I watch pro wrestling. I'm also single, but I don't know how those two things are connected. there's a phrase in wrestling. If the crowd boos you, that's good, because they will come out to watch you get beat because they don't like you. Mm-hmm. If the crowd cheers you, that's good, because they will come out to support you to see you win. If you go out there and you can hear people ordering food, or you can see them getting about their seats to walk to the bathroom and they indifferent to you, that ain't good.
Yeah.
Because there are not asses in seats. That's why, we were talking before, I'm gonna have to start getting on my TikTok game, and I'm tired of jumping from platform to platform. I had MySpace, that was perfect. I do a joke about it, but I done went from MySpace, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like, yo, can we just decide on one? It's all the same. I'm waiting for that hologram app to come out. You know what I mean?
Do you think it's up to the comics or up to the audience to make space and room for Black comedians that are not your typical Def Jam comedy type comics? Like, you know, like you said, Hannibal Buress, or what if we had a Black Carrot Top? You think that
would be hilarious?
The Black audience would make space for that?
If we had a Black Carrot Top, I'd hate to see what type of props he would use, because we're either going to get like a non-traditional. If we had a hood Carrot Top, this sounds like a bad Chappelle Show sketch. If we had a hood Carrot Top, he'd be pulling out like a big oversized blunt. You know what I mean? Big oversized sneakers, durag. Oh man. Here's the worst part. Somebody's gonna hear this, and then they're gonna go viral with this, and I'll be like, man.
But we really don't have that. We really just have like, it's starting to change. Like, but
speeds. We're now getting more. Because it's like, you know, we got like Lupe Fiasco type people now, and they can get record deals. So it's cool to talk about kick, push, and coast.
Yeah.
You know, before that is like, I have a big issue with hip hop for so many reasons. Because A, it is straight trash right now, once again, because it became all about the money. There's no art to it. It's the reason Andre 3000 making flute records. I mean, that's what y'all did. I blame you, hip hop fan. We could have got another Outkast album, but he's like, man, y'all just made the flute. It's him, Ron Burgundy, and Lizzo. That's it. Only three flautists that are out right now. Okay. Maybe Lizzo gets him on a remix, but yeah, it could be cool for like clubs to make space, or they could have like their just different night. There's a lot of rooms that do their own stuff, but there's also clubs that'll do like their chocolate Sundays night, because sometimes there are audiences that ain't trying to expand their mind.
Yeah.
You want to hear what they want to know. It's a Chris Rock joke. Oh, you think you the smarty art, huh? And it's like, all right, well, you know, there's space for everybody. It's more so up to the comic to figure out where they getting in. And if you can't get in somewhere, then quit messing with them. And if you have to, try and start your own room or start your own business. Because here's the thing about America. If someone can make money with you or off of you, they are going to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of them like on TikTok with like the puppets and stuff. Like, I forget that one white comic who's pretty famous with the little puppet. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, Black people can do that too. I don't know how we can.
Lily Tyler and Lester. And that was the 80s, in the late 70s and 80s. But
yeah, that'd be scaring me too. Because like, I mean, I'm still a baby, but like, I'll be talking about.
As long as you ain't a baby.
Yeah, I'll be talking about weed, getting my booty ate, all that type of stuff. But then I just started to like expand my horizons. Like, okay, if I'm gonna talk about this, how can I do it in a way that people don't even realize I'm talking about it? You know, so like when I talk about white people, I have a joke about ancestry.com. Like, it's about white people, but it's not about white people. You know what I'm saying? It's just more so about like, why are we paying for this service when we were stolen? Like, we shouldn't have to pay for it. So I try to think more so.
I forget who did a sketch, but I think they were all like half, like every Black person in the ad was traced back to like Thomas Jefferson. All the Black people that Thomas Jefferson, all the slaves he had sex with.
Yeah.
And then like Vince Morse, he had a joke. He said, there are no white Washingtons. Name the last white person you met with the name of Washington in America. And then I thought, I know one girl, she's married to a Black dude.
Now when you think about the things that you want to say and do and put it out there, you obviously take very good consideration into what you want to say, so much to the point that, you know, you put out your first special, was streaming out on YouTube. First, be special, happy
third release, because I got two CDs out, two albums.
There we go. How was putting that out? Was a lot of pressure? Was a lot of expectations? Did you feel like relieved? Like, how was it putting that out?
I ain't famous. If anything, I'm infamous. And my goal in getting that out there and working with the company that I worked with was comics now need content. I always tell people, like, there's movies like Almost Famous, which I've never watched, but I know the gist of it. Like, it's like music. People used to go out to like a bar and they would see some band they've never heard of playing. And some record label exec would be like, I'm going to make this band huge. I think they've got a great sound.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day with comedy, you lived out in LA or New York, mostly LA for the Tonight Show. And you would be out there getting paid $8, $9, $10, if that, for a set. Because if you got on the Tonight Show and Johnny Carson called you over to the couch, career was made.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting your sitcom, everything else. Now, you know, we got podcasts, we got the social media platforms, people got their own rooms running. It's the Wild West again. And, you know, it can happen in any way. So, and me putting out stuff now, like, I hate putting out bits that are in my current set because I don't want somebody in the crowd knowing the punchline. You know, I can improv on stage a little bit, you know, so if I get a good like improv and I'm like, oh, this is a special moment in time where I'm never going to be able to recapture this, I'll put that clip out. But like, you know, I'm going to try and start putting out some more sketches in 2024. Like, I have an idea for a sketch. Because I can't do like Godfrey, who's a bomb comic, great impressionist. But it's like, if I listen to like Jadakiss rap, I can make myself sound like Jadakiss for a little bit because I can rap. And I was picturing Jadakiss like eating cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Just be sitting around in the kitchen like Frosted Flakes with no type of fakes. You know what I mean? Like milk is too thin, but my flow was whole fat. Like, I got to get into it. But just like different little sketches and dumb stuff, like, you know, just to get people's eyes on your product. Because you know what it feels like now? Right now, comedy feels like you are in front of a junkie, but everybody's got cocaine. So everyone's trying to be like, you got to try mine. You got to get hooked on my product. You got to get hooked on my product. My product's better than theirs. And you trying to get enough people hooked where they need another hit. Because there are people headlining comedy clubs that don't have 45 minutes, but they got 800,000 social media followers. So, you know, I try to, like, I look at, like, my albums, because I got two albums out. You can buy those directly from me. You can also I work on Spotify and Pandora. Or watch my special on YouTube, which I see is streaming across the bottom, so make sure you check that out. You know, it's like you try to get the content out to the people, because once again, to go back to the wrestling analogy, it's about putting asses in seats. Here's the other thing about that, though, and this is where even I got to be stronger and follow my own advice better. I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, and I always mention this. You know who, you've heard the name Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin used to wrestle for WWE's biggest rival when both companies existed. He was told he wouldn't draw money. The company that he was with didn't see in him what he saw in himself talent-wise. And if you watch his old footage when he was with that company, he had like great matches. He could, you know, this and that. But the company just didn't see what he saw in himself.
Mm-hmm.
Got the WWE. Got stuck with a bad character. Character was generic, wasn't good, and he was trying to reinvent. And then one day, and you can find the story or the footage of him telling the story, he was talking with his then wife, and she made him some tea or some coffee. I forget which. And she said, honey, you know, you got to do whatever, but you got to do something before that gets stone cold. And he said, what'd you say? And he had been watching some documentaries on like serial killers and all this other stuff. Shaved his hair off, came up with his persona. The rest is history. So sometimes, even if you don't see what, if you see what others don't, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Got to keep pushing. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what kills me? The worst comedians usually have the strongest drive. Like, why is your business so much better than your actual material? But there are some people I know, they work all day hustles and they keep getting shows. And it's like, well, you know what? Now, I've seen those people get shows. I've been on shows with some of those comics, and I've had the audience do the, I wish you was the headliner. And you try to have them not say that when the other comics are around. And I'd be like, thank you. Tell the club you love to have me. Thank you. You know, I just try to keep it moving that way. But, you know, it's like there's no exact science to this, but at the same time, there kind of is. So I got to try and get more stuff out on my social media. I got to try and get more, you know, do more, I guess, even smaller shows. But you get to a certain point, you're like, you want me to drive or fly how far for how much? Yeah. Nah. Like, you know, it's like when you first starting out, you want all the stage time possible. I'm like, I've been doing this 17 years. I know what works. I know it ain't going to work. I know this ain't worth it. I'm like, am I really going to not have my career pop because I didn't take this gig in Backwards Foot, Oklahoma? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, nah, I'm like, nah, son, we ain't doing that.
Yeah. No, that's validating to hear that you don't have to take everything like later on. Yeah, no, I tried to, I mean, it was a transition for me knowing that I had to do everything on my own, not because I was like not used to it. Just I used to work in news, and when you work in news, when you first, so when you work in
newspaper and television,
okay. I used
to want to be a news anchor until I worked at a TV station and found out how hard that hustle was. I'm like, oh man,
that's an all day job. And I was a news reporter and a sports reporter, and yeah, that was a lot of work, which I didn't mind it, but it was just the news station out here is different from where I went, and it was a fairly new news station. But before, even when I got down there, you know, just interning, they was telling me, like, you got to learn how to do everything your own, you know. So I think that kind of helped me coming into comedy. But then I just thought, like, you know, you come in, you had to be funny. But, you know, I had to learn how to network. I had to learn how to, you know, get booked and stuff like that. So it wasn't as new or as hard for me. It was just like trying to learn how to make things on your own in this realm. That's what made it difficult. But yeah, I feel like sometimes, I mean, you do need that push. But it definitely is about like how much hard work and dedication like you putting in and stuff like that, you know. So
yeah
I definitely agree with you on that.
It's like, you know, some people get lucky, they get the right video that pops off for whatever reason or whatever else, but nobody's gonna care about your career more than you.
Yeah. And I just try to remember that too. Like, I work for myself doing this. So, you know, if I'm not where I wanna be as opposed to last year, that's on me, you know, for the most part, that's on me. So I try to keep that.
I could hustle a little bit harder, but I also need to sleep.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? They're like, how was the show? He was great. What happened? Well, he died 5 minutes into it, but them first 4.5 minutes, oh, that was hot fire, yo. Like,
that's how I'd be out here, man. I started to sacrifice more. I'd be staying at Mike's a little later, but usually I would just leave right away because I'd be like, bro, I live by myself, which means I still got to go grocery shopping, which I still got to do. I forgot. But I still got to go grocery shopping. I still got to cook. I still got to get my clothes ready for tomorrow. I still got to make sure I go to bed on time or on time because I got to get up hella early. So, you know, so yeah, it's a lot of those grinds that you really don't think about early on. But as we start to wrap this up here, man, what is some words? Wrong order. Always mess this up. Who's on your Mount Rushmore for comedy?
Oh, that can change all the time. And the Mount Rushmore thing, they're like, it's only four. I'm like, man, I don't know. It's like Richard Pryor will be there always by default.
Yeah.
I have to give it to Chris Rock because he's the reason I started doing stand-up because I got tired of watching him say stuff that I was thinking. So that's number one. Number two. So Richard Pryor, Chris Rock are on there. There's a dude that is no longer with us named Richard Jenny. I loved watching Richard Jenny as a kid. Love watching Rich. Very funny dude. was able to relate to all different types of audiences, loved his old Showtime specials. They're literally within an arm's reach. Right now, I can see all of them. I got all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the one they put out after his death. And then, like, for that fourth spot, it's too much. I always say, and I can't decide, because I can name off too many great comedians. Bill Burr, Roy Wood Jr. You know, people always talk about male comedians not mentioning ladies. There's some really dope ladies out there. I'm not going to try to name all of them. But you know what I mean? But ladies, there's funny ones. Y'all, I ain't one of them dudes that act like y'all ain't funny. You know what I mean? There's people that are out right now that I'm like, I just bought tickets to go see three comedians in 2024. Mm-hmm. All three of them, different styles, different subject matters, different life experiences. Because I still enjoy comedy. If I go to a club and I'm like, okay, this dude's got set up joke punch, or they ain't talking about nothing special. It's like they funny, but it's like bagels. And I'm like, gee, what you doing? That don't really do nothing for me for the most part. But like, I just bought tickets to see Ronnie Chang, who's on The Daily Show. He's also in Crazy Rich Asians. And I believe Shang-Chi, because who would imagine they would give an Asian comic work in Asian roles? It's almost like Hollywood has a system. I bought tickets to see Ali Sadiq. I worked with Ali before. Worked with him before. Me and him couldn't be more of a life difference. Couldn't be more one. But Ali is a dope comedian, and you can watch the evolution of his stuff over time. And I bought tickets to go see Tom Segura. Got to open for Tom before he got popping. I have like a good luck Chuck effect on so many comedians. I got to open for Billy Gardell 1 year before Mike and Molly. Little Rel Howery 1 year before Get Out. Nikki Glaser like 2-3 years before she started getting popular on Comedy Central roasts. Segura, Christina Pajitsky. Just like, I need somebody to let me blow up, because I'm tired of blowing other people up. you know what I mean? It'd be nice for my time. And then trying to get these clubs to book you, because out of sight, out of mind. I'm in Ohio. Well, they don't want to pay for hotels for features sometimes. Or do you have the credits to headline? Or, well, we're going to give you this much money. Or whatever else. But do you have a comic that'll recommend you? And what I do now is I look to see who's playing certain clubs, and then I try to get in those clubs. I try to be very good to the people that book me. And what I mean by that is I don't run over my time. I'm respectful. I ain't making no decisions. I ain't causing any trouble. I, you know, it's just like, hey, massa, I ain't trying to harm nobody. Just try to tell them a joke.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, people are going to have their favorites. So, you know, there's comics I know that have gotten in because they were friends with a manager, and a manager just liked they one bit, and that was the one bit they had, and it worked. Some comics started their own thing, made that pop off. The best way to get into a club now is to have a headliner bring you, because they get to see you that way, and they're like, oh, this person's actually, ain't no perfect science to it. I'm in my 40s. I like my house. I ain't trying to pay $3,000 to $4,000 a month for a one bedroom apartment. I ain't trying to do that. So there's certain things I may never achieve, but when I get on stage, ain't nobody going to tell me that I'm not funny. You going to watch me do what I do in this room. This is the part that sounds arrogant and confidence for all the young comics who ain't got 5 minutes, but they're like, yeah, I feel that. And I'm like, get the jokes first. But when I go up, I'm going to do my time, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to pivot, and I'm going to win far more times than I'm going to lose.
What's some words or motivation you could give to a comedian that's listening to this right now?
If they've made it this far, they done got most of the motivation they're going to get. Especially if it's young people, because y'all ain't got no attention span no more. I'm like the dog in the movie Up, like Squirrel or whatever, but you know. But write jokes that are unique to you. Unless you're trying to work on a late night television show writing monologues for people, current events, maybe you can do sketches about those. But if your whole thing, like, also keep your references current. I'm gonna change up the rapper. But I once was at a show and I saw a dude. Now I gotta think of another rapper to make fun of. That people will, okay. Give me a second because I don't want to say the other one in case the other person hears it. You know what? I'm gonna say it. My man was doing jokes about Ja Rule like 8 or 9 years after he was most popular, and this is before Firefest brought him back. I'm like, you doing jokes about Ja Rule? Because that's, oh, black comedians, no more Michael Jackson. Unless you got to have the most unique, no more R. Kelly. You got to have the most unique, like, you can make a one-liner reference to R. Kelly. If you got a 2 or 3 minute bit about R. Kelly, you outdated. You whack. What you doing that for? What you doing that for? You don't see the NBA players talking about, yeah, man, I'm about to work on my ABA dribble. Like, the ABA ain't been around since the 70s. What you doing? It don't make it, like, ain't nobody trying to release an album on 8-track. Like, what you doing? Like, so write material that doesn't have a short shelf life unless you're trying to work on monologues. Don't be a jackass. That would seem simple enough, but yeah, don't run the light. Don't be a jerk. Don't give an intro to a comic coming up that you don't know like that. This is for everybody, mostly the men. But talking about if the girl's cute, don't be talking about, yeah, I like to hit that. Like, what did you just say? Like, don't be doing none of that. Don't forget the person's name. I am seeing too much ratchet behavior lately because everybody thinks they a star. No, you are not. I'm going to say this, and if this dude ends up hearing it, oh, well. There was a dude at an open mic that brought his publicist. And it was his mama. You had an open mic where nobody knows you. Nobody's seen you. We don't know if you have any jokes. But you have a publicist? For what? First of all, you hear at the mic, publicity done. was coming when the mic started.
Yeah, that's a little different. Tabari,
spoiler alert, black guy. You have to do better. Like, I'm also tired of black people not being like Chris Rock said, like, we can't be critical of each other. No, I criticize everybody. I hate on everybody. I'll put it to you that way. Everybody can get it, but don't be trying to fight me because I ain't trying to get into that.
Tabari, tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
Well, it's free, so free entertainment. Second, put you up on some game, some knowledge. For you, for the non-black crowds, that means we'll be sharing insight about the comedic experience that you may find interesting. And if you're an aspiring comedian, may give you wisdom in performing yourself. Third, I'm on it. So, I mean, if you like my material, you should probably like this episode. Once again, wait a second. We had 58 and a half minutes. If people need to know why to listen now, we ought to tell it what's happening. Unless this is, hold on, wait. Let me do that over. This is the social media teaser. Be sure to tune in for this episode of Comedians in Bed. You can see my bed, and it's me.
Tabari, where can people find you at?
Wherever they pan. But you can go to my website, TabariMcCoy.com. You can check out where I'm going to be. I have some shows here in Cincinnati this month lined up. As I mentioned, I got a clean comedy showcase. I have a private event that is private in more ways than one. That is not a story for this podcast. Coming up, I got some. I'll be doing a show for Bombs Away Comedy on December 16th. I should be at the Liberty Funny Bone for a showcase before Christmas. Got a headlining gig next year out in Rochester, Minnesota. So all 19 black people that live in Minnesota that are not players or staffers for the Vikings, the Twins, the Timberwolves, and the one probably lonely black dude at the Minnesota Wild, and the people that are not related to the late Prince Rogers Nelson. I need all of y'all to come out. White people, that does not exclude you. I am coming to one of your native lands. Come on out. Enjoy the show. Everybody. Hispanic people. I know you're cold up there. whoever. I want everybody to come out and laugh.
That is funny. Be sure to check us out every Tuesday at 11 a.m. where we drop every live episode on my YouTube channel at TYE Comedy. If you want weekly content, you can check us out on IG at Comedians in Bed Podcast. Or, you know, you can subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. I want to thank my man Tabari for repping Cincinnati and coming on here today. We greatly appreciate it.
Either one of us. You can Cash App, Zelle, PayPal, check. Certified check, wire transfer, bag on the corner in an innocuous place behind a trash can. Whatever works.
Whatever works, man. We'll see you guys next week. We greatly appreciate it.